Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Helping to make those happy baby noises for years and years now. Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining us on Morning Air. Glenn and Terry in for John today. This hour, stick around. We're going to talk about Advent and the stock market. Bill Ulivieri joins us. We'll get the latest from Ashley Nerona with the latest from Rome. New Advent Story Corner for you coming up before the hour is through, as well as those Advent preparations continue getting ready for Christmas. Sarah, how is it going around your household? Are your Advent preparations on pace or not? Or well, maybe a little bit?
The intentions are on pace. well, we officially did get rid of all of Thanksgiving and Halloween decorations in our house. So we're started. We got the Advent wreath out. So we have that. The intentions are there. We're not really on pace where we probably should be. But you know what? It's still early. Tomorrow's the beginning of December. So I think that we'll get there. You know, you just be patient with yourself if you're in the same boat as me, because, you know, we have a lot of sick people in our house. So that kind of has to take precedent. I know Jesus knows we're still going to be waiting for him and preparing for him, but we're a little bit behind schedule, and I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think so. Even if, you know, if you skip a day in the Advent calendar and you open up to the next day, that's okay. You know, Jesus still comes there on the 25th. So depending how the preparations are going, but just a great encouragement to enjoy the season and not, you know, overstress yourself too much there. One great meditation for the season, though, imagining what it was like to be waiting for that first Christmas if you were Mary. My goodness, what a great thought. Marge Fenelon joins us, Catholic speaker and author, regular guest here on Morning Air, to contemplate what it was like for Mary waiting in that very first Advent. Marge, good morning. Great to have you along today.
Good morning. Great to be here, Glenn.
Hey, how's Advent going for you so far?
We're getting there. No, actually, I think it's off to a good start, but that doesn't say that the whole Advent is going to be spectacular in terms of striving. But we've done our traditional. So we have the Advent wreath, and we have what we usually do is the first Sunday of Advent, we will put up the tree with the lights, but no decorations, and so slowly we start adding decorations to the tree and decorations to the house, and that kind of what satisfies that desire to have the lights and the glitz, and yet at the same time reminds us that nope, he's not here yet, we're still waiting.
And that idea to not really rush through it, but kind of let it come to us a little bit, as much as advanced planning for Advent and Christmas things can help out. But I love this idea of a good Advent meditation, imagining what it must have been like for Mary. My goodness.
Well, you know, Mary's Advent, when you think about it, Glenn, it was 9 months long. So we have 4 weeks. She had 9 months because she was waiting that whole time from the Annunciation to the Nativity. And her waiting during that time was really twofold. So the first was waiting through her pregnancy. So if you think at very, you know, human mother level, you know, all those questions and expectations that any first-time mother would have. So, you know, what would this child look like? You know, don't you wonder, moms wonder what their baby's going to look like? Well, the dads too, what will the child look like? And what would it be like to give birth? You know, there was no book what to expect when you're expecting God. Like there was no manual for this for Mary to look at. So I remember, oh my goodness, that was my Bible when I was pregnant, that what to expect when you're expecting. But there was, you know, this is different. This isn't just any child. This is the child. And, you know, we don't know for sure. It's what Mary knew or did not know. There's lots of scholars that have their thoughts on that. But whether she knew or not, she may not have known it would have been a virginal birth. Catholic teaching is that it was also a painless birth. But still, I believe there must have been some pain involved, because there's the separation, you know, with a mom, you know, the child is in you and suddenly the child is not in you anymore. And there is, as happy as you are to have that child, there's that pain of separation. So all of this she's anticipating. She's thinking about what would it be like to hold him? And when you think of it just on a basic level, your child, what would it be like to hold your child? But then what would it be like to hold the Savior? I mean, I can hardly even imagine how amazing that would have been. And what would it be like to be a mother for the first time after the birth and caring for the baby? And all of this time, Glenn, she's feeling and watching her body change as it gets closer to the nativity. And that in itself is just a miracle in the life of any woman who gives birth. She was waiting and for the baby to move inside her. And I love, that's one of my favorite things to contemplate. What was it like to wait for that? You know, moms wait, new moms, they wait for that first movement. And then once she starts feeling Jesus moving inside her, there's all of that time until the birth that she's feeling the Savior moving within her womb. How incredible. And always be aware of that's first of all my child, but then it's my Savior. And then think about Mary and Joseph and the preparations for this baby, you know, room, provisions, you know, whatever needs that they would need, clothing and so on. You know, we have these huge baby showers these days. And did the Blessed Mother have a baby shower? I haven't found anything that said that was a custom back then. So they're preparing for their son to be born and what they would need after that. So all of these things that we take for granted in our human lives, Mary, and of course Joseph as well, but Mary was going through as well.
Well, I tell you that, you know, what to expect when you're expecting, when your first one is on the way, you're reading up everything possible, trying to learn, trying to be so prepared. And then when the second one comes, you're so busy with the first one, you don't have time to read anything, and you just hope you remember how it all went as you go through that. But I wonder, too, you know, when she was so eager, and Mary, what a good example to go help her cousin Elizabeth. But I wonder if part of that, too, was to, you know, to have someone to commiserate and maybe, you know, get some more perspective for herself, too, on what it would be like, being that Elizabeth had just a little bit of a head start.
Oh, I could definitely see that. And in between all of this, of course, is the stress of the relationship with Joseph when Joseph finds out she's pregnant, and it appears to human eyes that she was unfaithful, and so I definitely could see that, to go and help Elizabeth, but then seek the counsel of a godly, older, wiser woman who could help guide her through this. I definitely could see that. So and then the other aspect of her waiting is that we have to remember that Mary was actually a Jewish maiden. You know, we think of her as Catholic because it tends to be more of a Catholic devotion, although there are some other faith traditions that honor Mary. But in any case, she was a Jewish maiden. So she, along with her people, was waiting for the deliverance of the Jews and the coming of the Savior. So when you talk about, you know, very historically, you know, that waiting, she knew, because she knew the scripture, then she knew the prophecies. She knew the prophecies of the promised Savior. And she also knew her people's terrible suffering with poverty and homelessness and oppression. You had the Babylonian exile, you had the slavery in Egypt, you had the Roman occupation. I mean, this was no fun. This was not a cakewalk for her people, for her heritage. She knew all of this. She knew of that desperate desire for freedom and that yearning for both political and spiritual redemption. And she knew that throughout all of history, God had promised the chosen one, the Christ. And at the same time, she knows that she's carrying the Christ in her womb. And what a great privilege, but then also what a great responsibility for her. What was that like?
When you talk about wanting to make sure you take all your prenatal vitamins, I mean, and, you know, maybe change up your diet. But hey, we're talking with Marge Fennellan this morning, this segment of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio, contemplating Advent for Mary. And we think, wow, she had it lucky. She had 9 months to get ready for that first Christmas. We only have 4 weeks here. It's really crunch time. But just thinking about the physicalness again, too, of her birth, expecting that. You talk about discomfort or lack thereof. But, you know, 8.5 months along, riding on a donkey down from Nazareth, and it couldn't have been too easy as well. But you talk about wanting and longing for feeling that baby move. And I think of how amazing that can be. I know, you know, from the dad's point of view, the first time we'd watch for we called them shirt movers. If there was a really big movement of the baby, you know, just you're watching for that. Beautiful story of someone who was a birth mother, talked of not knowing what to do for sure, and then brushing her teeth one night and feeling the baby move suddenly. And that was recognition that this indeed is a life here, and then decided to have the baby and place the baby for adoption as opposed to making another choice. But that movement, beautiful story that the family is very familiar with. Also, for me, I think of as an only kid and as like the youngest of many cousins. And actually, my daughter, my firstborn, was the first infant, first newborn I ever held. And
wow.
You talk about amazement. And, you know, even when they fall asleep, finally, you don't want to put them down because it's so amazing. You just, you know, look at what you're holding in your arms. And it's fairly instant, that amazement, that appreciation for the miracle of birth. And then as if you weren't pro-life enough already, the minute you're holding your own infant in your hands. But, you know, all those normal things that Mary would have been dealing with, granted she didn't have those books, but she had that knowledge, like you said, of that waiting for her people for so long. And we cannot really imagine. We live in a culture where waiting is so difficult, and we get so many good things and bad things instantly. When we want it, we don't have to wait. You know, we're waiting to open the presents. That's about it for waiting. But for Mary to be able to help be the fulfillment of bringing the Savior to the world, we can't really imagine what that was like.
It's hard for me. You know, when I was going through my pregnancies, I had a ferocious morning sickness, and I would always, I think just about every morning through that, I would wake up and ask, you know, did you feel this? were you like this? Did you have morning sickness? Can you give me a hand here, because you know this is really struggling. And of course, once it's with other children too, then you can't just rest. You have to be have your morning sickness and take care of the other kids. But all of those little things that I would think of, and what would help me so very much, and I think for all of us going through Advent with our different ups and downs, whether you know it be with a child or without a child, with just our daily lives, is, you know, to look to our Blessed Mother, and you know, how did you, can you, could you give me some intercession? Could you help me? Could you guide me through these ups and downs as you made it through these, your ups and downs of your very first Advent? And I know, I have no doubt, of course, she's our mother, that she'll help us. And I know she helps me a lot. And is, you know, when I get to those points, you asked in the beginning, you know, how's Advent off to, you know, what kind of good start is it off to? It's off to a great start, but for me, I tend to slack off after a little while. Maybe I get a little too pompous and think, oh, I'm doing so great, and then I'm not doing so great. And thinking about her and her waiting during that very first Advent, and then asking her for renewed vigor in my own waiting. You know, I wish in a spiritual sense that I could have that same feeling of carrying the Savior inside of me and feeling those movements, because that would be an immediate reminder that this is real, and that I am preparing for the Christ.
Sarah, who's one of our producers here, and the voices that you hear in the morning as well, kind of gets teased by some family members that we bring her on to talk about being a mom, and she's, you know, all the other things that a human is as well. But a great time, Sarah, I think, to bring you on to talk about what it's like when you're expecting, and when, you know, you're hearing Marge talk about what it must have been like for Mary. Can you imagine having gone through the process several times yourself?
Yeah. No, I've been listening intently, Marge. This is a great conversation, because, like, even Glenn, both of us together, you guys together talking about this, I'm just like, yes, I'm nodding my head at all of these things that you're talking about. So relatable. I mean, like, anybody who's had children, I mean, I think even if you're watching from afar, you can feel a little bit of this, but the anticipation of carrying a child, of walking alongside your wife as she's carrying the child, is just so palpable, especially when it's your first. I mean, really every child you're so excited for, but your first one, you don't know what to expect, really. So the whole process is just so exciting, and you're just waiting. And sometimes it feels like it's taking forever, and sometimes it seems like, geez, it's already, it's time to give birth. So I can imagine, you know, that process with Mary at first being very intimidated, very overwhelmed with, what does this mean? How is it, you know, how is this going to kind of go? What is Joseph going to think going to see Elizabeth? And I'm sure she probably calmed her down a little bit and helped her to feel like loved, and being like, okay, this is going to be okay. God has us, and just kind of reinforcing what she already knew probably. And then, you know, being with Joseph, and Joseph kind of having the dream and saying, okay, we're going to do this. And, you know, just, I'm sure there was a lot of wondering and awe. I mean, when that baby comes, you're just, and you are, like Glenn, you were saying, you're just in awe, you're in amazement, and you're just thinking, this is a clean slate, this is a pure, you know, little baby, and this baby could change the world. And I'm just thinking, like, in Mary's case, this baby did change the world. I mean, you're thinking, saying, wow, I mean, it's just so amazing and so beautiful, and really just that moment of birth is just, you're in awe of what God can and is constantly doing in our lives. And it's just one example of how he is doing that when we see that new baby. And I've been pregnant very close to giving birth 3 times during Christmas. So I've kind of put myself in that place and being like, what is, if this would have been like, and often thinking there's no way I'd be on a donkey. So, I mean, God bless Mary for that. I never know how she did that, but yeah, it's such a beautiful time. And when you're kind of going through that, just to take a few moments to just kind of reflect through the process of this happened, you know, happened to Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, and kind of putting yourself in that place. Beautiful thing to reflect on this Advent, for sure.
I think Mary's, that when pregnant, and I think this is probably true for most women, you are so vulnerable. So physically, emotionally, because you've got hormonal changes going on, you're so vulnerable, and you feel so, I did at least, so kind of out there and unprotected, and just weak and vulnerable because you're not your normal self physically or emotionally, or maybe not even mentally, and then you're carrying this child. But with in Mary's case, she had to be vulnerable, but at the same time stronger than she'd ever been before, because, as we were saying, it's not just any baby, it's the Christ. And so that, I often wonder, I ask her, you know, what was that like? Did you have this sense of urgency, or how did you bear that responsibility, that in this time of being so needy? I mean, you know, I could at points I couldn't even put my own shoes on, and so you're just so vulnerable and needy, and at the same time, she has the responsibility to protect and tend to this child within her womb, who is more than just any child, but the Christ child.
Well, I think, too, the scripture verse of Mary pondered all these things in our hearts, in her heart, rather. She pondered all these things in her heart. Imagine how much thinking that she had to do, couldn't help but do. That certainly would have made things go more quickly. It's like, Mary, your mind's wandering again. A lot on my mind, people. But what a great thought, though, for Advent, for us to kind of bear in mind what Mary might have been thinking as we strive to use her yes as our example for things that we are called to do by the Lord, and to just imagine, you know, as we think back, as the three of us have talked about, what it was like, you know, expecting our children, holding them, and what that was like, and imagining that was the Christ child in your arms. Thank you so much, Marge. Always a joy to touch base with you. We appreciate it so much. Morning Air rolls on here on Relevant Radio. We'll talk a little finance and Advent with Bill Ulivieri coming up in just a few minutes. An Advent Story Corner on the way as well. Next, we go to Rome with Ashley Nerona and hear the latest from the Holy Father and more as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. Glenn and Sarah in for John today. Story Corner for Advent coming up before the hour is through. Talking business and Advent with Bill Ulivieri in just a minute as well. We'll give you a lot of parenting tips here on Morning Air because it's important to know the importance of, for example, you know, having those kids room together for a while. So you have at least two beds in the same bedroom. You say, why? Sometimes that can be a hassle. Well, sometimes it can be very handy when you're playing hot lava and you have to have a couple items to jump to so your feet don't hit the floor. Sarah, how important is it in your household for your kids when they're playing hot lava to have a good variety of things to jump to and from?
Yeah, no, they enjoy playing hot lava. Well, anything where they can jump around, I think, is a big thing for them. So, yeah, but sometimes it's from couch cushion to couch cushion. Sometimes it's jumping around. They can get a little dangerous, though. Sometimes, you know, we have one bed is a loft. So, no, it's not ideal to jump, especially if the fan is going. That adds a whole new level to the game. Don't jump off the loft while the fan's going to the next bed. That would be my suggestion. But you know what? They got to learn the hard way. So sometimes they're falling into that lava. So hopefully they don't get burnt too bad.
Good mental picture going right now in the Tafoya household there. My goodness. But they're playing hot lava on the big island of Hawaii. Mauna Loa has been erupting now for the first time in about 38 years. This past few days, it's approaching a key highway on the islands, on Hawaii's big island, we should say. And the U.S. Geological Survey, though, says the eruption still not threatening downslope communities. But folks keeping an eye on that, as we will as well with volcano activity in Hawaii. From time to time that happens in Italy. Nothing like that today, but plenty going on in the Eternal City as we say good morning to Ashley Nerona, our Rome correspondent. Ashley, did you play hot lava when you were a youngster?
Well, of course, all of those fun games, you better believe it. And I now have a trampoline that I use for exercise, so I'm still jumping.
Yeah. Good job. Yeah. Oh, we got a lot to cover and not enough time. I suppose we should jump right into it, looking at what the Holy Father had to say today for his Wednesday general audience.
Sure thing, Glenn. Well, you may recall that last week, the Holy Father spoke about desolation during his public audience. And of course, this is part of his discussion on discernment that he has been doing for the past few weeks. Well, this week he talked about consolation. And he says that genuine consolation and discernment is really a confirmation that you're doing what God wants. But one of the pitfalls is that it's hard to recognize authentic consolation. Now he says one of the ways that you can learn to recognize it is by going to the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And he says that through the exercises, you learn how to examine all of your thoughts and make sure that they are inclined to good in their beginning, middle, and end. And if things are not directed towards the good, then to understand that they proceed from the evil spirit. So the Pope gave examples of not good intentions. He said that an action like praying is good in its beginning if it inclines you toward love of God and neighbor, but it becomes bad if it's done in order to avoid doing your duties. So Pope Francis noted that Satan, the enemy of the human soul, is always searching for a way into the human heart to corrupt your thoughts and actions. So he says that a patient examination of conscience is what he called indispensable. He said it should be done daily and shouldn't be focused on reviewing what you did that day, but on why you did what you did. And also asking yourself questions like, was I happy or sad or angry or at peace during these times? And in doing that, stopping to notice to see where God's grace is at work and also where growth is needed. And he said that discernment can help you to see what God expects right now and help a person to choose between different possibilities as they are searching for the true good. And with all that, Glenn, the papal audience today was indeed outdoors on a very chilly day and was finished by a performance from 5 Kenyan acrobats who were on stilts. It was quite a show to see.
Well, we asked you when we started if you'd played Hot Lava as a kid. Ever had any experience with stilts at all? That looks hard.
Only as a viewer. It looks hard to me, too, I'll tell you.
Very good. Very good. Well, it's got to be feeling, in addition to a little chilly, a little bit more like Advent and Christmas are coming there as the decorations are close to being unveiled in the Vatican.
Yes, you're exactly right. In fact, on the 3rd of December, everyone is so excited because now we can see the Christmas tree in the top of the creche over the top of the wooden scaffolding that's all around the nativity scene right now. The tree is now decorated, and we know that in just a few days, the Vatican's nativity scene and Christmas tree will be revealed. In fact, this will all happen at the annual tree lighting ceremony, which takes place right there in St. Peter's Square. At 5 p.m., there's a band, and it's a very exciting, festive atmosphere. Now, it will remain on display until the 8th of January. And on the morning of the 3rd, there, in addition to the ceremony that I mentioned, Pope Francis is also going to receive delegations from the areas who had something to do with gifting this year's tree and nativity scenes. So the nativity scene itself was offered by an Italian village in northern Italy, and it's called Sutrio. This is in the province of Udine. Now, the Sutrio crib is made entirely of wood. It has a semi-sphere that looks like a grotto, and the Holy Family will be displayed there. And the characters will actually be life-size figures. So Sutrio has an important tradition in woodworking. And in fact, every year they have an event there called the Magic of Wood. And next to it is this majestic white fir tree. And this is a gift from a very small mountain village called Rossello. And when I say small, there's about 182 people that live in this tiny little town, but they gifted it from a tree farm in northern Italy. And the decorations this year are made by young people residing in a psychiatric rehabilitation facility near to that little town. So indeed, all of Rome will come out and make their way to walk through the piazza and spend some time praying and meditating in front of that beautiful crib and tree there in the square, Glenn.
Oh, you must get spoiled, Ashley, with the beautiful Vatican Nativity each and every year. Has the importance and the beautiful work that gets done there made you think differently about nativity scenes?
Well, you know, it's such an important tradition here, the nativity scene. Really, every church has one and every home has one. And I remember a priest saying once that it's a wonderful idea to have a nativity scene up in your home for the entire year, to always look for Christ in the busyness of our lives and to remember that he's born into our hearts in the fullness of time every single day. And so I think that's a really nice reflection. And I love how the Italians certainly appreciate this tradition and enjoy going church to church to look for the Christ child in these nativity scenes.
Still within my sight in the studio here, every year I put up my nativity scene that I was able to collect as a little Lutheran kid, one piece at a time. Every year at Sunday school, they'd give us a new piece, and that would add up over time. From like, you know, age 2 through about 8th grade, we were given a Bible 1 year. But other than that, every other year we'd gather a piece. And so pretty cool to still have that. But and then, you know, this was before we figured out there were play school nativity scenes that were made for kids to play with. But, you know, we'd set this one up and the girls, when they were little, would be talking the nativity scene characters like they would with their toys. And that was great. I thought that was a great use of the nativity set then as well. We have some sad news, though, too, at the Vatican with the death of a homeless man next to St. Peter's.
Yes. Sadly, Glenn, there are many homeless people that sleep near to the Basilica at night. And a 61-year-old German man died during a very cold night here. And like many homeless people here in Rome, he would sometimes sleep there and then receive assistance from the Vatican Dicastery for the service of charity. So the Vatican has various services. They have a 4-story homeless shelter. They have a medical clinic and a laundry service. They have showers and an ambulance. Pope Francis specifically prayed for this man. His name is Burkhard Scheffler, and he remembered all those who are forced to live without a home in Rome, but also throughout the world, Glenn.
Oh, what a good thing to keep in mind this time of year, especially as it gets very, very cold in the upper reaches of North America here, and to keep not only in prayer, but what we can do to help too, especially during Advent, a good time to think about reaching out to others and not just what's on our list of things to do. We started the segment, Ashley, talking about hot lava based on volcanic
yes.
activity in Hawaii. And, you know, Italy has its share of volcanic activity from time to time, but a landslide in the news.
Yeah. Yes, actually, yes, this just happened on the island of Ischia. And tragically, the death count has now gone up to 7. There are 5 people missing. There are 200 people who are displaced. And there is a state of emergency on the island. Now, Ischia is there in the Gulf of Naples. And in the summer, this is an absolute vacation paradise. But what happened was there was a, you could call it a freak rainfall. And with that, a landslide began and engulfed houses and swept cars into the sea. There were mud and rocks and debris everywhere. It's a real tragedy. About 2 million euro has been allocated now to tackle the disaster. But what's come out is that the former mayor, who's also an engineer, 4 days before this happened, sent a registered email to various government authorities in the area warning of the danger of potential landslide. And so with that, it has brought up the question of illegal construction in areas of high risk, etc. Pope Francis has also expressed his closeness to the people of Ischia and said that he is specifically praying for the victims, for those who are suffering, and for those who are involved in the rescue, Glenn.
Well, Ashley brings us the latest, not only from Rome, but around the country of Italy and things going on as well as we wrap up this week's update, a look at celebrating the Feast of St. Andrew in Italy.
Yes, today on the Feast of St. Andrew, one of the most solemn and special celebrations happens in the Amalfi Coast in the town of Amalfi. And that is because that little seaside town has housed relics of St. Andrew the Apostle since 1208, and they have called him their patron as well. Now, the way that they celebrate is quite special. So in the Cathedral of Sant'Andrea, or St. Andrew as it means, which is in the heart of the little town of Amalfi, the lights of those antique glass chandeliers are turned on, and of course, it reflects off of the bright mosaics on the wall. And there's a large silver statue of St. Andrew that is then surrounded by flowers and candles. And it's there for people to come pray in the church. But then one of the most exciting moments is the procession. So this is led by the Archbishop of Amalfi. And what happens is that behind him comes the statue of St. Andrew, then a marching band, and then, of course, the excited people of the town of Amalfi. Now, imagine that this silver statue of St. Andrew is sitting on top of this elaborate gold Baroque base. It's so heavy, it takes about 20 men to carry it on this procession through the town of Amalfi. And one of their first challenges is to carry that huge statue down the 62 steps of the Duomo, of the cathedral's grand staircase. They have a bit of a march that they say while they go, vai, 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 which means go, go, go. And then at the base of the stairs, there's a large crowd, and they have silver rattles in the shape of fish. They rattle them, of course, reminding us that St. Andrew was a fisherman, and they're longing to touch the base of the statue, or touch the statue itself. And then they continue to carry the statue throughout the little town down to the beach, and there are horns, sirens from boats in the water, and they also bless all of the boats at this time. Now, when they turn around and the procession heads back, another moment that people are waiting for is what the running of the statue of St. Andrew up the stairs to the Duomo. So this is actually a tradition. And what happens is that the men, the facchini who are carrying the statue, they take a few minutes to prepare themselves. They take a deep breath and then they begin to run while all the people of the town are applauding. And when they arrive safely at the top, of course, there is a marching band that begins to play the traditional songs to celebrate the Feast of St. Andrew. And all of it will be rounded out tonight with a big fireworks display, Glenn. It sounds like a fantastic way to celebrate.
Wow, you know, you think organizing your own parish festival is a big deal. Holy smokes, that sounds fantastic. And you paint such a lovely picture each and every week of what's going on in Rome and around Italy as well. Ashley Nerona, have a blessed week. Enjoy the lighting of that Christmas tree and look forward to hearing more, Lord willing, next week too. There goes our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona. Sure. Thank you, Ashley. Still to come, right around the corner, we'll talk a little bit of Advent and Wall Street. Bill Ulivieri joins us next. Story Corner on the way, too. More of Morning Air coming up here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
This is Morning Air,
your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Mary Beggars have something amazing in store for you and your family this coming Sunday night as we wrap up the first week of Advent. Join us on Relevant Radio for Christmas Live. It's a one-hour variety show celebrating Advent and the joy of the Christmas season. You'll smile, laugh, and enjoy some live musical performances. Might even inspire you to sing along. We'll pause the mystery series on the night train during the month of December, but tune in Sunday night at 6 for something special to prepare your hearts for Christmas. This weekend, it's Christmas Live, only on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Morning Air continues now. It's Glenn and Sarah in for John. Bill Ulivieri is with us from Seneca Capital to talk about the market and Advent. Bill, great to have you along. And as we talked a little bit on and off this hour about the kids' game of hot lava, jumping from one thing to the next in the bedroom or living room without touching the floor, I tell you, the market ride this year has had to have been like playing that kids' game of hot lava for you.
Hot lava with real money, yes, for sure. Well, Glenn, it has been an incredible year, a year of extremes, that's for sure. And I wanted to just, I uncovered a new contradiction in the market, thanks to Relevant Radio and preparing for this talk. And that is, Advent is ordinarily a bullish time for the market. An ordinary time for the church is ordinarily not a good time for the market. And it just dawned on me this week as I was preparing for the show today. So the church...
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. And talk about, you know, what normally this time of year, what the market does is we're kind of coming down to the close of the year.
Sure, sure. Well, there's an old adage in Wall Street that says, sell in May and go away. But most people don't know that you have to come back in October and November to pick up the deals and the bargains that have usually presented themselves. So stocks historically do not perform well from May until October or November. And that may be true again this year. Most investment returns for the market going back into the 20s, or at least certainly since post-World War II, the stock market return does very well from November to May. And I think that the market may have made a low on October 14th. That's the last low. So since the last time I was on your show on October 26th, the S&P 500 is up 3.95%. Crude oil is down 13%. Gold up about 4.5%. But most importantly, interest rates have fallen about 7% in the long end of the mortgage rate, like at the 30-year bonds. And the short-term risk-free rate, called the 10-year treasury, has fallen about 5%. That means those bonds have gone up in price. So inflation expectations are beginning to recede. There's more optimism in the markets, although you can't always tell that from the mainstream media and from the mainstream news. But it really is interesting that the market generally does very, very well during the season of Advent. And Advent, you know, we go back into ordinary time next May, May 23rd, I think it is, of 2023. So I think it's just a really interesting cycle here that I've uncovered. And again, I think the market has done, it will probably do very well just when we're not paying attention to it, right? And again, it seems like we've gone from inflation to recession to inflation to a recession conversation all within a few months. And that's what I find most interesting. And that is that the market really, it can't make up its mind. It always swings from one extreme to the other. And this time is no different.
Bill, you always hang in there and hold your ground and say, well, let's look at things historically now, because we there's the recency bias, where we think whatever is happening now is the first time what we're going through has ever happened before. And this is the most important and best thing that's ever happened, or worst thing that's ever happened, because of what's happening to us now. Well, what does it take to kind of say, hold on, let's look historically at how things go, even, you know, month by month over the average year, or even the trend over a half a dozen years?
Sure. Well, the most important positive thing happening right now is the fact that there's a little bit of weakness in the U.S. dollar, and that should elevate stock and bond prices. But if you look back historically, in 2021, the market was up almost 27%. In 2020, the market was up 16%. In 2019, up 28.8%. In 2018, down 6, but then 27, up 19. So, you know, up 27, up 16, up 29, down 6, up 19. I mean, come on. Like the market deserves a break. And yes, it's down 16% in change this year. Bonds have done horrible, which is typically the flight to quality. That's where we look for respite when the market goes down. And we didn't get it this year. So again, if we kind of pay attention to the market, I could say historically, going back to, and I even did these numbers back to 2009, we usually have a run of about 6 years of positive gains from the first year to year 6. Maybe there's a break in between, you know, 1 year of unchanged or down 6. And this year was a big one, right? Down 16. So if history is our guide, and I know this is a real stretch compared to say this today with so much crazy things going on, you know, another election in 2 years, everything that's going on in China, the lockdowns, and the conflict in Russia, Ukraine. But let's stay optimistic and say we could have another six years of positive gains in stocks and bonds. I know it sounds crazy. It's a stretch, Glenn, for sure, because you have to take one day at a time. But I think that's why we've really added, you know, as a firm, we've added a lot of high yield stocks and bond funds that are paying between 8% and 12%. Because if I'm wrong, and the market just trades kind of sideways, at least we get paid for waiting.
You know, I'd rather look at the Christmas tree lights than I would, at some of the year-end statements getting in the mail. But we talk about this from time to time, too. What kind of advice would you have maybe for those that you know, are getting close to retirement or, you know, needing to take a chunk out for a big purchase, helping with college, something like that, without getting a little nervous saying they don't have time for things to build back up as might be prudent ideally?
Right. Well, most financial planners will tell you that you do need to have 3 to 6 months, or, you know, as many months as you can, of living expenses. And this is exactly why. The technical fancy term is called sequence of returns. In other words, it's easy to take money out of your account when it's up 26, up 17, up 19, up 30, and you feel good. You're feeling wealthy, you're feeling rich, and you're paying off more bills. And actually, maybe you're even spending more on some luxuries. But then when we have these drawdowns, that's when everybody's grip begins to tighten and they get very fearful about taking the draw. And what was a comfortable draw when the market is up, now it seems to be a terrifying draw when the market is down. And that's just part of the cycle of what we're going through. So I don't mean to sound cheeky when I say this, but you really should be drawing as least out of your account as possible, because this is when you need to sell more stocks, you need to sell more bonds in order to pay those bills. When potentially in the next 6, 8, 10 months, things could be much higher. I mean, you know, the market's up 5% just since the last time I was on a month ago. So, you know, we have to be careful and more mindful of our drawdowns. And also, again, you know, whether it's me or another financial professional, or you want to have someone take a second look, a second pair of eyes on your account, there are easily always ways to get out of one investment into another one that's very similar in profile, but could pay a much higher rate of return, a much higher dividend stream, pay their dividends on a monthly basis rather than on a quarterly basis, reduce one mutual fund and exchange it for something called an exchange traded fund that's more tax efficient. And so there's always, Glenn. I've never found a way that I couldn't squeeze a few more pennies out of someone's account. And again, I'd be happy to perform those tasks for free, you know, for anybody on Relevant Radio who is willing to share their information with me.
And Bill, what's your big advice here, finally, with about a minute left in our segment, to be able to confidently have some patience to hang on through these really big ups and downs? And they're not all downs, but it's so turbulent of late.
Well, Glenn, for me, it's just looking back historically. I know that optimism in a higher market is really the only rational thing. And even if I'm wrong, I'm right. That's what my mantra has been in 2022. Even if I'm wrong, I'm right. So I pick my spots. I pick the market. I know with 100% certainty that we will be higher in X number of months, or whether it's 12 months or 18 months or 24 months. That's just what the market does. It's rigged to go up, even though we've had these declines that we've experienced this year. And it's unusual. The market has acted weird this year for the first time since like 1939, right? So it makes me feel like I'm wrong, but I have to go with the odds. And the odds are is that we rally for about 6 years and we decline for one or two of those. And so I look historically at what's going on, and I'm faithful that optimism is still a great reality. And until things change, I have to go with that.
Well, very good. Bill Ulivarli with Cynical Capital joining us on a regular basis here on Morning Air. Thank you for hanging in there and giving us advice and sometimes holding our hand through very turbulent times in the market. We wish you a continued blessed advent and look forward to chatting again soon. Time now to switch gears a little bit here for an Advent Story Corner as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Our story today... For those who might have lost someone recently, our story today, My First Christmas in Heaven. I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below with tiny lights, like heaven's stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular, please wipe away the tear, for I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sounds of music can't compare with the Christmas choir up here. I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring, for it is beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know how much you miss me, I see the pain inside your heart, but I'm not so far away, we really aren't apart. So be happy for me, dear ones, you know I hold you dear, and be glad I'll be spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I sent you each a special gift from my heavenly home above, I sent you each a memory of my undying love. After all, love is a gift more precious than pure gold. It was always most important in the stories that Jesus told. Please love and keep each other, as my Father said to do, for I can't count the blessing or love He has for each of you. So have a Merry Christmas and wipe away that tear. Remember, I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. From John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. That's our Story Corner for today. You can access that in podcast form each and every day if you'd like on the Relevant Radio app or on the website as well. Well, we have some important things to do right now, and that is to wish a very happy birthday to our producer, Gabby Burt. So happy birthday. I'll play instead of sing, and that's better for us all. And we'll continue to play here, and we'll play in the hot lava and play with Advent and more, talking some Advent traditions, some great ideas. Father Marcel Tyone joins us coming up next, and Dave Duran talking about change as well, all on the way in the next hour as we continue with you and more of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.